Thank you for joining us for another lesson from God's Word. Anytime you're in Huntsville, we hope you will come be part of our worship. The West Huntsville Church of Christ in Providence is located at 1519 Old Monrovia Road, Northwest, Huntsville, Alabama, 35806. Now, we hope you enjoy this lesson brought to us by Paul Owen.
I want to say good morning to everybody. Hope you're having a great day. Sister Kay Reed told me this morning, she said, the sun was so bright and beautiful this morning. What a glorious day. And I said, amen, amen. It is a wonderful, glorious day that we as a family, the family of God, can come here and obeisance, give honor and glory to our great God. How many of us have been doing our memory work each week? At least one verse? All right, so quite a few of us. I want to encourage you to continue to do that. Continue to input and hide the Word of God into your heart. Of course, we want to continue to remember in our prayers our dear elders and preacher Glenn and Arnold as they're away in Argentina and the great work that they are doing, encouraging the church, encouraging those missionaries. And I know that they're also doing some problem solving along the way, and so they need our prayers, they really do. And all of this mission work is not without risk, and so we want to remember them in our prayers. Today I want to talk to you about something that we don't hear a lot about in the Lord's church, and perhaps we need to hear more of it. And I have never preached a sermon on this topic, nor have I do I remember hearing one, and that is the fear of God. The fear of God. And that is the topic of our memory verses for this week. The shepherds were gathered and they were watching over their sheep when broke through the stillness of the night, this angel stood before them and his glory shone around them. And they were greatly afraid. And the angel said, "Fear not, fear not." He said, "I bring good tidings with great joy." And the reaction of the shepherds were to go and do immediately what the angel had commanded them to do by the authority of God. Now, remind you that these shepherds did not meet God, but they met an angel. There was a man by the name of Manoah. In Judges chapter 13, and his wife, they would be the parents of Samson. They were visited by an angelic being. And their reaction was, when they saw this angel, as they fell on their faces in stark terror. And after the angel left, Manoah said, we are going to die because we have seen God. I think about Matthew chapter 28. Those guards who were guarding the tomb of our Lord Jesus Christ. And there appeared an angel. The Bible says, "Behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel had rolled back the stone." The Bible says his countenance was like lightning, and his clothes was like snow. And the Bible says that those angels shook with fear of him and became like dead men. Derek talked to us Wednesday night about Zechariah, the father of John the Baptist. And there he was, serving in the temple. And he was visited by an angelic messenger. And the Bible says trouble came upon here and he became afraid. And the angel said, "Fear not." That was often what an angel said when he appeared to a human in the Bible. Fear not. Do not be afraid. Meaning to me that those humans had every indication that they ought to be afraid of this angel. And I think, my, angels, mere creatures of God, if they could cause the heart to tremble with terror, how much more fearful would it be to encounter the living Almighty God Himself? We read in the book of Genesis where Jacob, remember, he was running for his life from his brother Esau. And there he came to a place called Luz. And he laid his head down upon a rock and remembered the dream he had. There was this ladder that went from earth all the way to heaven. The Bible said he saw angels ascending and descending on this ladder, and the Lord stood above it. And when he woke, he said, "Oh," he said, "the Lord was in this place, but I didn't know it." And the Bible said that he became afraid and said, "How awful or how awesome is this place?" Moses went on the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights to receive the law. While he was up there, he had this prayer that he might see God. God permitted it, but he said, "Look, Moses, a man, you cannot see my face, because if a man sees my face, he cannot live. He will die." So you remember how God placed Moses in the cleft of the rock. And there the Lord put his hand over Moses and passed by. And so Moses saw his back, and the glory of God passed by. Oh, what an awesome sight it must have been for Moses. When he came down from the mountain, the Bible says that his face radiated. He had been in the glory of God, and he put a veil over it. Oh, what a sight. It was such an awesome sight that the Hebrew writer writes in 12:21 that Moses said, "I was exceedingly afraid, trembling." Trembling. The Bible says in Psalms 111 verse 10 that the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. In other words, the Bible says, look, if you're going to have wisdom, it has to begin with the fear of God. You must have the fear of God. If your life, you want to make good choices in your life, if it is that you want to find the direction of God's will in your life, if it is that you want to walk in His way, you know where it all begins? He says it begins with wisdom. Now you might hear the phrase, the fear of God, and you might have a negative thought about that, but you know what? You shouldn't. You shouldn't. Listen to what the Bible has to say about the fear of God. We can go to Proverbs chapter 10, verse 27. It says, the fear of God prolongs life. He says, but the years of the wicked will be cut short. So the fear of God gives length to your life. What a blessing. But he also says in Proverbs 14:27 that the fear of God is a fountain of life and turns away a man from the snares of death. And so the fear of God not only gives length to your life, but it helps you to avoid the bad choices, the evil, the wickedness in life. In Proverbs chapter 19, verse 23 says this, that the fear of the Lord leads to life, and he who has it abides in satisfaction. So the fear of God also leads us to be content rather than having the insatiable need always to have something more in life. So maybe the idea of the fear of God can be confusing to people. It may be that because they think that word fear, you know, that old word fear, that old sinister, unhealthy emotion that we need to avoid. But you know what? That's kind of contrast from what the Scripture teaches us, because the Bible says that the fear of God is something that is clean, something that is healthy, something that is wholesome. In Psalm 19:9, that's what it says. And so the fear of God is something that is fundamental to our spiritual diet. It is the fear that drives all the lesser fears away. I think it's kind of interesting that we look at what Paul had to say. And we think about the fears of life that sometimes you and I have. I mean, the aging process, the thought of being lonely, the thought of getting sick, getting cancer, maybe the thought of war, of not being in an honest relationship, the thought of failure. Ever been afraid to fail? Even fear itself. But Paul wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. He says, look, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power and of love and a sound mind. But Paul was not telling Timothy that he ought not to fear God. Paul was telling Timothy that he should not fear for his life and the work of God. He's telling us that we should be fearless as we serve God. And as we learn to fear God because of His greatness, what you and I will discover is all the other fears of life are swallowed up in that greatness. That's something that John Newton understood as he penned the words of Amazing Grace. He says, 'Tis grace that taught my heart to fear. That is the fear of God. And grace my fears relieved. That's the fears of this life. So what is this fear of God, and how does it work in your life and in mine? Well, first of all, fearing God means that we see His greatness clearly. We see His greatness clearly. I think there might be a misconception that the people of the Old Testament, they fear God. And the people of the New Testament, well, they love God. But that's not so. That's not so. Because you look in the New Testament and you look at the church, I mean, the church was growing dynamically. And so Luke, the beloved physician, writes in 9:31, he says, the church was walking, here it is, in fear and comfort of the Holy Spirit, and they were multiplied. In truth, when we truly love God, we will fear God. Now, this is not the kind of fear that God, or terror that God is going to strike us down at any moment that a slave might have of his cruel master. No, this kind of fear is a fear that we stand in awe of God's majesty and greatness and holiness. That's the kind of fear we ought to have. Have you ever had an occasion to meet someone, a human, that you thought was a great person? Maybe it was someone in your field of work. I mean, that was renowned in your field. And you'd heard about them, you'd read about them, and the day came and you got to meet that person. Maybe a young person that is a great collegiate or professional athlete. And you finally had that occasion that your parents took you to meet that person. Maybe they were going to sign a football or a picture or something. And you got face to face and you looked at that person. Maybe you have met a past president. Maybe you have met a great author. And you're in the presence of that person and you think to yourself, I'm kind of afraid to talk to them. Ever felt like that? Let me ask you, why were you afraid? Why were you afraid in that situation? It was because you felt unworthy to be in the presence of someone who had that kind of ability or knowledge or stature in life. And let me tell you, if that is the kind of fear that we have of a human being, what kind of fear must we have when we understand correctly who our Almighty God is and when we get to come before Him? So when we begin to grasp the greatness and the majesty and the holiness and the grace and mercy of our great God, we too will have a sense of unworthiness. That's the reason God tells us in Psalm 46:10, be still, and know that I am God. But I'm afraid, my brothers and sisters, that we have lost so much of this sense of the fear of God in this generation. I cringe when I hear someone say, oh, the big man upstairs. Perhaps this has happened because we have made God too manlike. And I think that we see this borne out in Christendom in at least a couple of different ways. I mean, today there are people worshiping all over this country. And that worship is designed to appeal to man rather than God. There are people who spend lots of time and energy figuring out how worship can be made more entertainment, more entertaining, more enjoyable, more appealing, more fast-paced, so that we'll like it, rather than spending time saying, what is going to honor God? What does God want from my worship? Maybe too many people spending too much time figuring out how they can fill a church rather than fearing God. But listen to what Solomon tells us in Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 1 about worship. He says something here, and I like what he says. He says, walk prudently when you go to the house of God and draw near to hear rather than give the sacrifice of fools, for they do not know that they do evil. Do not be rash with your mouth, nor let your heart utter anything hastily before God. For God is in heaven and you are on earth. Therefore, let your words be few. So, the fear of God is absent in our society. And so, that is manifested in the way that people worship, but also in the way that people pray. And maybe the way we pray. One writer I was reading this week said this. He said, few of us pray with a sense of God's real greatness. Instead, we imagine God to be sitting beside us or residing in some corner of the room. Instead of really praying to the Almighty God, we focus on generating certain emotions within ourselves. We feel that if we can muster a warm sense, then we have prayed. No, we haven't. We have only soothed our conscience. True prayer is having an audience with one, capital O, who is greater than our minds can comprehend. You see, when we pray, and we pray out of sense of fear of who God really is, our prayer takes on a different form. Instead of telling God what we want, we say, God, what is it that you want from me? We still make our petitions, our requests for our loved ones and ourselves, but it is born out of an idea that God is great and He knows better than we know. And so this fear of God means that we see God's greatness clearly. But it also means that we will have a willingness to obey. A couple of scriptures. Proverbs 8:13 says, the fear of God is to hate evil. And then in chapter 16, verse 6 says, the fear of God, through that fear, a man avoids evil. You see, little children have to learn to trust their parents. So you and I have to learn to trust God. As a parent's perspective is so much broader and superior to that of a child, so God's perspective of our life is so much superior and greater. So look, when we read His Word, listen, when we read His Word, that means that we are looking for direction for our lives. It's saying, God, what do you want me to do? And then read that word and say, Lord, there it is. I see your will for my life. And then seek to do it. Oh, that is the fear of God. That is the wisdom of God. But how different that is from the way that this contemporary world makes decisions. When the contemporary world wants to make a decision, the question is, what is it that will bring me the most pleasure? What is it that I will enjoy the most? What is it that I want to do? And you and I both know that that is the fast track to a whole lot of trouble in this world. We will quickly fall into sin. We will get mired in debt. We will fall into immoral relationships with that philosophy. There will be a lack of faithfulness and responsibility on your part and my part if we have this kind of questioning in life. It's not the way to do it. It's not the way God wants us to do it. And so, I think all that happens And a person never truly repents with that state of mind, but it happens because the person asked the wrong question. The right question that you and I should be asking in life is, what is it that will honor my God? Every day we need to ask that question. What is it about this day that I can do that will honor my God? Number three, fearing God, listen, means that we will share the gospel with others. I want you to take your Bibles. We're going to look at a few passages together, and I want you to see this. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 9. And we're going to look at four or five passages together before we close this lesson today. And I want them to have an impact on your own hearts as we go forth from today and think about the fear of God and how to cultivate that in our lives. But the Apostle Paul says, he writes, we make it our aim to be pleasing to Him, whether present or absent. He said to be well pleasing to Him. He said, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Here it is. Knowing, therefore, the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Did you see that? Knowing, therefore, the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Paul said, look, the true fear is understanding God's right to judge this world. We respect God because of His justness and His holiness. And there's going to come a great day, people, that those who are washed in the blood of the Lamb, the faithful children of God, they're going to be shown grace and mercy as the saved. Welcome into the joys of the Lord, is what we'll hear. But not everybody's going to hear that. Not so with those who have spurned the grace of God. And so that should cause us to want to make sure that nobody, but nobody, as far as we can help it, ever has to face the terror and the wrath of God. Nobody. Now take your Bibles and turn to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, beginning in verse 30. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 30. The Hebrew writer says, for we know of Him who said, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. And again, the Lord will judge His people, for it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. You see, a child needs to fear his parents in a couple of different ways. One is because that parent has superior knowledge and superior wisdom. But a child needs to fear because of the power of the parent. Isn't that right? I mean, the parent has the power to give privileges and take privileges away. My children know that all too well. But they also have to have a healthy sense of the judgment of that parent. And for that child to properly develop, it must need that. So we must have, listen, a healthy terror of God's judgment, because God ultimately has the power to determine the destiny of every living soul. Isn't that a thought? And so, listen, that should motivate you and motivate me. It should motivate us to make sure that nobody faces that terror, that our friends, that our family, that our loved ones, that nobody faces the mighty wrath of God, which we cannot fathom. C.S. Lewis really did a masterful job in articulating this attribute of God's character. He did it in the Chronicles of Narnia. Many of you have maybe read the books or maybe even watched the movies. And in that book, C.S. Lewis portrays Jesus Christ as a lion, as does the Apostle John in Revelation chapter 5. And a lion is a figure who is fierce and he's powerful, yet he's tender. I mean, his splendor is dazzling. His wrath is terrible. And His love and His tenderness are infinite. It's awesome to be able to be in His presence. And I'm quoting from C.S. Lewis now in his book. As the lion passed by, they, the children, were terribly afraid. He would turn and look at them. Yet, in some strange way, they wished that he would. Naturally, one would be nervous beating a lion. The question was asked to one who knew the lion well. Is he safe? Safe? Who said anything about safe? Of course he isn't safe, but he is good. He's the king. And I am longing to see him, said Peter. Even if I do feel frightened when it comes to that point. We serve a mighty God. So what is it that you and I need to learn today from this topic, the fear of God? The first thing that we need to learn today is we need to study the nature and character of God. We need to listen to what God says about Himself. What is it that He's telling us about Himself? When you read the Scriptures, see, the Bible is God's revelation to man. It tells God who God is, what He's about, what He requires. We have to understand that God is not made in the image of man, but man is in the image of God. And when we read the Bible, it needs to inform and instruct our view of God. And when we have begun to grasp that greatness should impact the way we worship. It should impact the way that we pray, that we should take time to prepare our hearts in quietness and reverence because who God is. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1. What a marvelous passage this is, because there Isaiah sees the seraphim who has six wings, and with two he covers his feet, and with two he covers his eyes at the brilliance of God. And the angel can only say, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts." Isaiah sees God sitting on the throne, and he can only say, "Woe is me, man of unclean lips. I have seen the King." Oh, what a marvelous thing it is, and such a humbling experience when we gather together as we have done today and worship the Almighty God together. The second thing we learn is we need to submit to God's Word. Look, and the quiet time every day is great. Opening the Bible is great. But you have to let it instruct you and teach you, correct you, and direct your very steps in this life. Take your Bibles and turn to Revelation chapter 1. We've got a couple of passages left. And the beloved apostle John was in the Spirit, the Bible says, on the Lord's day. And John saw, and in verse 13, among the seven lampstands, this is what he saw. Revelation 1, 13. One like the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to his feet, girded about his chest with a golden band. His head and hair was white as wool. His eyes were like flames of fire. His feet were like fine brass. His voice like the thunderings of many waters. His countenance like the sun that shines in its strength. John said, when I saw him, I fell down as one is dead. And I thought about this week, and I had this thought, you know, John was no enemy of Jesus while he was on this earth. He was perhaps Jesus' greatest friend. He was called the one whom Jesus loved. He was the one that laid his head on Jesus at the Last Supper. He's the one that Jesus said, "Son, behold my mother." Yet John, the one whom Jesus loved, saw Jesus in his resurrected glory. He fell down as one that is dead. If God is dreadful when He appears in His mercy, what would it be like when He reveals Himself against sinners? Oh, how mighty our God is. Philippians 2 says, work out your salvation. He says with this, with fear and trembling. When is the last time that we have trembled at the greatness of our God? We know how to rejoice, but we haven't learn how to tremble before God. When you think about how wonderful He is, all the blessings He has given us, He gave us His own Son to die for us, and yet we are accountable before Him, it should cause us to rejoice with trembling. Last passage, Proverbs chapter 2. Turn to Proverbs chapter 2, verse 1. How is it that you and I obtain the fear of God? This is a great passage. And I want you to see something here. How is it that you and I obtain the fear of God? My son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands with you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom, apply your heart to understanding. Yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of God and find the knowledge of God. Did you see the verbs? Go back and look at them again. He says, if you receive, incline, apply, cry, lift up, seek, search, then you will understand the fear of God. What God is saying is, look, I am not looking for someone who just has a casual inquiry of me. I am looking for a diligent seeker. Three ways that you and I can obtain the fear of God in our lives. Number one, understand that it is missing from your life, right? Sometimes the first way to get right is to admit that you're wrong. I don't have it. I need it. We just read in Proverbs chapter 8 that the fear of God is to hate evil. And you say, well, maybe, Paul, I don't hate the sins in my life. Matter of fact, I just don't tolerate. I enjoy some of them. And I realize that I don't have the fear of God in my life. That's a good place to start. Good place to start. Second way, pray every day for the fear of God to be in your life. Pray every day. Every day, make that up. You pray for wisdom every day, pray for fear. Lord, help me to fear you as you would have. It is a command of God. Over 200 times in the Bible, we're told to fear. And lastly, memorize some of the verses that we have talked about today. Meditate upon them, like Psalm 111, verse 10, that we've talked about. Maybe Hebrews 12, 28 and 30. Maybe the Hebrews 10 passage. Think on them and meditate and read them so that you and I can have the proper fear of God that He would have us to have. As I was reading in Revelation 5 this week and looking at how John says that Jesus is the Lion of Judah, there's also something else in that passage that says that He is a lamb. He's a lamb. It was Jesus Christ who left the majesty of heaven, came to this world to be sacrificed so that you could be saved. While we should fear God, we also understand that God loves us so very much. A love that you and I will not comprehend till I think the day that you and I are in glory together, of how much He loves us, what He has done for us. And so I pray today that you and I will have the proper attitude toward God. And if there is one here today that's not a Christian, out of fear of God, will you become a Christian today? Will you humble your heart and submit yourself and obey the Word of God? And then I said to Paul, I said, Paul, what are you waiting for? Arise and be baptized, washing away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Will you do that today? If your life is not right with God, I beg you, I implore you today to make it right. You may not need to come up here, but you may need to go home and kneel by your bed and make things right if you're an erring Christian. Whatever your need, will you come as we stand and sing?
We hope you have enjoyed this lesson from God's Word, brought to us by Paul Owen. If you have comments or questions, Paul can be reached by email at owen at westhuntsville.org.